The baseball playoffs are here, everybody, and tomorrow we got four wild card games. Rangers and Rays, 3 Eastern on ABC. Blue Jays, Twins, follow on ESPN. Diamondbacks and Brewers, Marlins and Phillies. Everything is also on ESPN Radio on the ESPN app. Let's do it. The baseball postseason begins tomorrow. Meanwhile, I'm going to get all three of these guys to yell at me, even though I'm right. Two things happened yesterday that never should. Kirk Cousins, terrible pick. Here, we're going back the other way. Sam Franklin Jr. Kirk, get out of the way.
Okay, Kirk, I see you striking.
Go get
it. Fall down. Strike it, Kirk.
Go get it.
Get out of the way. Oh,
no.
Whatever you do. But wait, there's more.
You can't.
Justin. All right, so he's going to get leveled here.
Yeah, but you can't toot it up right before the
Justin
guy.
Justin Herbert throws an interception, okay? Bad idea. You don't want to do this.
Okay.
And now, look at Justin Herbert. Just get out of the way. Just fall down. Run to the sideline. Do whatever you want to do. Don't get involved in making this tackle and hurt your hand. You're going to see if Justin Herbert gets injured on this play. I've been saying this for years. Get out of there!
You might not want to take on Max Crosby.
No.
Listen to me. There should be at all times, change my mind, there should be at all times a helicopter that hovers above the playing field, and when there is a turnover, a rope ladder should drop and the quarterback should be whisked away like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible to safety. No quarterback should be involved in getting hits when the ball is turned over. I'm right, and I will never, ever be dissuaded.
You'll never, ever, ever, ever play a downer quarterback again.
All right,
you
and you know what?
Never,
and when Andy Dalton breaks his thumb,
your locker
and, that
room.
Kid, and Justin Herbert gets hurt yesterday on an interception in a regular season game. We're not talking about the playoffs when Ben
Brady
made a
football.
Tackle that saved you. It's not football. You're a quarterback. You're not a football player. Don't get that wrong. Eli Manning said it. The quarterbacks are not football players.
Gritty,
they're doing something
gritty.
Different. It's more important.
I feel like I get disrespected a lot.
Josh Allen's not a football player?
Josh Allen.
Lamar Jackson's not a football player?
They're football players, and they should not be making tackles under any circumstances.
Greeny, here's the thing. There are interceptions that are the quarterback's fault. I'm not sure if you know that.
Of course.
And part of it, when it's your fault, is you got to get the guy on the ground to give the rest of the football players on your team an opportunity to defend a blade of grass. Like, there are chances and there are times in games where quarterbacks do make these plays, and when we run out on the field, one, we dap him off, and we say, good tackle, and we say, we got you, bro.
Yeah.
They won't score. That's part of it, Greeny.
There's also a thing of, like, professional and personal pride.
Right.
But you're one of your jobs is to not do that, and so when you do it, you're ticked off that it happened.
Yeah. Ticked off is not a good reason to do anything in life. I've learned that, and if there's one thing that I think we can all agree upon here, it's that I'm right. Okay, as we continue,
you're not right.
We are live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Grey Goose. Everyone here could use a shot of that, and let's get it going. Game of the night last night. Oh, what a thriller we had at MetLife yesterday. And the biggest stars in attendance weren't playing in the game. Aaron Rodgers, Taylor Swift, maybe you heard she was there. 9 minutes to go. Chiefs up 3-0. Isaiah Pacheco was unbelievable last night.
And it's a great job by Trey Smith out on the safety, but they get 3rd-and-1. They get the motion. Pull that backside guard. And listen, when Pacheco gets going downhill, man, it's big time speed.
He loves it.
He runs like he's mad at the ground.
Yeah, why is Noah Gray this open?
Listen, this is the second bust of coverage that we've seen in two weeks from the New York Jets. It's back to back, and it was found by Patrick Mahomes.
So 17-0. Game looked over. Then the Jets get a safety, which really turned the momentum. And then, Dan, what is Mahomes doing here?
Hey, he's trying to be Patrick. You know, Patrick is one of those guys that makes some of these outrageous type of throws. And I love the fact that he blames himself. You see that, he's like, I floated it, and then this is a tremendous throw by Zach Wilson, one of the best of his young career. That back shoulder ball placement to Uzama. This was throw it to him or no one else.
And speaking of great throws from Zach Wilson, how about this one for the touchdown?
Double post. He sees the safety cook hang on side for just a second, pins it on time to Lazard's back shoulder.
Zach Wilson, with perhaps his career on the line last night, played the game of his life. 2-point conversion.
This play call tells me everything of what they were feeling about him last night. It's a designed quarterback draw. They give him the chance, and then the skill, the effort, the athleticism to get in. One of his best moments as a New York Jet.
Jets down 3, 8 minutes to go and driving, and then
you see his head as he goes to catch that snap. He's just trying to see the coverage, which happens all the time. Just that fraction of a second, taking his eyes off the ball, forces that drop.
Then 2 huge moments. 3rd and 22. Jermaine Johnson at the bottom of your screen being held so blatantly that it's impossible to miss. as the scramble for Mahomes.
That looks like when Aaron Rodgers,
RC.
I mean, when Aaron Donald picked up Dante Foreman.
You tell me.
When they were in that Atlanta, it's like a square dance, Greeny. Sometimes you want to get the people close to your face because you got things to tell them.
If that's not holding, nothing has ever been holding. And then here we go. This is another one. 3rd and 20. Whatever you do, don't throw the flag until the ball is picked. Thank you.
Okay. And a pump fake. Greeny, a pump fake flag.
Greeny, that's like basketball, though. Sometimes you get the and one, or you think it's going to be an and one, or you're waiting for the layup to go in, and then when it doesn't go in, you make the call.
It's a ridiculously bad call. It cost the Jets greatly, and then it's a heady play by Mahomes.
It's a heady play because they're trying to throw a screen up top to Kelce. He can't throw the ball because the offensive linemen are downfield. The only option is to not only run, but be the only runner yourself.
Jets never got the ball back. Chiefs get a hard-fought win. It was a very dramatic game. And we will dive into it right here. So, look, I have to start, and we will get everybody in on all of this. I have said repeatedly that I did not believe Zach Wilson could play quarterback in the National Football League. I begged him to prove me wrong. Last night, he did. Despite the fumble, he was spectacular. With his career on the line, I believe, he played the game of his life. He gave his team a chance to win, and I believe more than that, he gives them hope going forward that this season is not lost with him playing. He may not be Aaron Rodgers because nobody is, but the kid played great, and you got to give him all the credit in the world with all the scrutiny, pressure, and intensity that was around him.
Yeah, and that's why I said you were wrong last week when you wanted to discard this kid.
I did.
All right, you got to be patient with a guy with this kind of ability. He was a second overall pick for a reason. What reason? He's got great arm talent. The dude can make every single throw. All right. The other thing that he has is that is athleticism and mobility. That's always important. Bill Walsh used to think is the second most important thing of playing the position. So to me, that's what he has. Now, he hasn't had the success, and I get that. But you know who had success last night, every bit as much as Zach Wilson? Nathaniel Hackett.
Yep.
He designed a game plan that focused on the strengths of the quarterback. Imagine that. They were able to run the football with some success. He anytime he wanted to throw the ball down the field, he ended up putting more people into protection with play action. He had tight ends blocking, backs blocking, and all that. That allows Zach Wilson a little more time to read and to make throws. The other thing he did, he moved the pocket for him. So to me, hats off to knowing what they have. Moving forward, I told you last week that as the season progresses, this team's going to get better and better, and so is the quarterback.
So two things I want to get, one from each of you two. First, what anyone watching the game would notice is that as soon as Zach Wilson started playing better, the Jet defense looked like a different group. Can you explain
that? Yes, because now you think you have a chance to win. There's a lot of times when you come into the season or you go into a game and you don't necessarily believe you're going to get the support from the other side. You're playing for yourself. You're playing as an independent contractor. But we all start playing this for team. And when you see this defense start to make a play, now Zach Wilson makes a throw. Zach Wilson gets out of the pocket and scrambles. You start to get behind your guy and you say, we're not going to let him down. We're not going to be the reason that this team loses. We're going to put Zach Wilson in a position to succeed. And that's what this defense started to do. And a locker room and football is about momentum as well. It feels good when I'm walking down to the kickoff and I'm looking at the offense on the bench and I can say, hey man, good play. Yeah. Hey man, keep it going. Hey, we about to get it right back to you because I know you're going to do something. There's a total different feeling than walking down the field or hearing special teams up because you're kicking a field goal or you're kicking an extra point and it's going to be a kickoff and you're punting on a 3-and-out. This team fed off of Zach Wilson last night. This team was in the game because of Zach Wilson last night.
And then I want you to teach me something as a fan and everybody watching. What was incredibly noticeable last night was Zach Wilson. The ball is snapped. 1, 2, out. The ball was out. And that was, there's always been his problem. When he holds on to it and he looks around, he gets himself in trouble. Who gets the, is that on him? Is that about the play design? It was 1, 2, and the ball was coming out. Who gets the credit for that?
Both. But it's confidence, conviction, and freedom to make mistakes. It was a good job by Nathaniel Hackett of often designing, hey, we're going to throw the ball to this guy. If you get this coverage, we're throwing the ball to this guy. And that's when Rex kind of says, like, NFL arm talent. It's the ability to make ball placement throws. Accuracy is thrown to your guy. Ball placement is throwing away from the defender. There's that back shoulder. Here's ball placement to bring Garrett Wilson back to the sideline on that very tight window throw. Here's ball placement to say Conklin down the seam with the tight end who's man-to-man coverage pinning on his back shoulder. And then Jeremy Rucker in the slot. Again, another back shoulder. That's throwing it away from the defender. Okay? Now, the two-point conversion is everything to me because RC's pointing out, like, defense is playing better. Defense is playing better. We're going to say down two in this game, we're going to put the ball in your hands athletically to go make a play, and he does. So this is a little bit of Nathaniel Hackett taking the handcuffs off, Nathaniel Hackett not babying him, and he did his part as well. Zach Wilson going, I'm cutting it loose. I'm cutting it loose. And if you watched, I always say this, and this is the difference between him and Mac Jones right now. You saw this with Justin Fields yesterday. When that back foot hits the ground, does it look like you're about to go throw a knockout punch? Or do you look like you're about the one to get hit? You know, like when you see Zach last night, like put his back foot in the ground and be like, here it comes. Justin yesterday was like, here it comes. Instead, it's like questioning throws.
Yeah.
That when you can make those throws, and there's not a ton
it's
of people
about,
who can.
It's conviction.
It's conviction.
Right?
I'm going to make a throw you can't defend.
Yeah, like I think that's the difference. What person in the world, what player in the NFL right now is in a worse position than Zach Wilson, with knowing that nobody in the fan base, no one in the organization wanted you to play? It's not even about thinks you could play.
Good point.
They didn't want you to play. It's the reason everyone was so happy to get Aaron Rodgers. You mentioned it over and over again. Last year, they made Mike White t-shirts.
Yeah.
Mike White, not Aaron Rodgers t-shirt. Mike White, who's not even on the team anymore. And so this kid knows whenever I have to go in the game on the fifth play of the season, when we prepared everything about Aaron Rodgers, nobody wants me.
Yeah.
And then when you make a bad play, you hear the boos. They got people in the stands whose teeth are falling out of their mouth with disgust because of the way you play. And you've played bad since the beginning of the season. You're playing the best quarterback in the world, a defense that's playing amazing this year with Chris Jones. And you step up.
Yeah.
You go out. You play like there's nothing to lose. And you gain everything in one night. That is huge by Zach.
Don't you think there's been, at least from our perspective, it feels like a 180 in that locker room with him since that Mike White t-shirt situation. Like, if you watch what's happened on the sidelines with Garrett Wilson and Lazard's leadership, how he's handled himself post-game press conference-wise.
And I will say this. Lazard and Randall Cobb, who were brought there for Aaron Rodgers, are the two biggest pieces of Zach Wilson's confidence.
And I'll tell you what, there's a third, and it's Aaron Rodgers. I think him showing up, talking to the team on Saturday night, being there for Zach, basically saying, hey, guys, you're following this guy, but I need to ask one more question of the group in case anyone didn't see it. He, Aaron Rodgers, told Melissa Stark last night his goal is to come back and play this season. Now, maybe that's something you just say to yourself because you want to and you're going to work for that. Does anyone at this table believe that we will see Aaron Rodgers play again this season?
If this football team gets the Zach Wilson that they got last night, and that's the challenge, can you do it again? I think we can. Because I do believe if they get that version of him more often than not, this team can still get into the playoff conversation.
Will he play this year?
I still don't think so. I think the Jets are going to make the playoffs.
I don't know enough medically, but I do know the only way he plays is if Zach Wilson gives his team the chance he gave them last night.
I will also say this. If Aaron is going to stay with that mustache all year, I'll do it. I will 100% do it. If he wants, it's not my look. It's Mario. But if he's going to
Are you saying if he comes back, you're going to do
either
it?
Either way. He's just sitting there. Or can we roll that again really quickly? I mean, just show the mustache again. It's Aaron Rodgers. This is how he looks now. Every now and again, he does the mustache thing. I'm not a fan, but I will do it in solidarity
In what sort of solidarity, Greeny? Is that a solidarity so he plays or just solidarity because he got a mustache?
Yeah, just that. Yeah.
Why don't you like mustaches?
I don't like mustaches. I don't like, I mean, that one does not, that's not a very good looking or whatever. I'll do it is what I'm trying to say. I will do it.
If he plays, I will wear a mustache.
That's exactly right. I will go with a mustache. Meanwhile, Dak is picked off, and you're going to hear why coming up next. And then the Bears lose again. Orlovsky is going to show you what Justin Fields did that could turn around his entire season. Oh, are we loaded up on this Monday? Get up on ESPN.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Come on, get up. Back on Get Up, Soldier Field, the battle of the Beatons, a Broncos and Bears. Turned out to be an unbelievable game to watch. Second quarter, Chicago down 7-0. Justin Fields had thrown only 3 touchdowns all year long leading in. He went nuts.
Aggressive shot to DJ Moore on that rail route. He pushes up. He goes out, kind of a wheel route essentially, and then that perfect throw from Justin Fields.
That one tied it up, and then here's a wide open Cole Kmet.
The way you attack cover 3, hold that safety in the middle of the field. Kmet stays up the top of those numbers. I love the timing of the throw from Justin.
Again, only 3 touchdown passes for Fields all year leading in. This was his 4th in the third
quarter.
This was
a great play. They snuff out the boot right away. He uses his mobility. He hits Herbert in the end zone for a touchdown.
28-7. They're feeling good in Chicago, but the feeling wouldn't last. Russell Wilson bringing him back.
This is a great job by Russell. Sees it front side, scans all the way back, finds number 3 in the progression, and a great touch on that throw.
They're back in the game. Sean Payton, Rex, is getting his sleeves cut off. What is this?
Yeah, I have no idea, Greeny, but he's feeling a hell of a lot better.
One way or another. He would feel better about that, and he would feel better about this. Here comes his offense. Again, it's Wilson.
Sutton.
We're tied at 28. Next drive, same score. Bears ball. This is a terrible moment.
Well, you're trying as a quarterback to kind of get your head around, see that edge defender, and get the ball out before you get hit. That ball's popped out, and it's a huge fumble return for Denver's defense.
At Denver's defense, which had been so maligned and so deserving of it, makes the big play. Then they make another. The Bears handled this situation ridiculously, strangely. A timeout, and then they go for it on
a great
fourth
throw.
They don't get it. Wilson to Mims.
Keeps his eyes on inside, so that safety to the field kind of snugs that seam and then throws that whole shot in between that safety and corner to Mims. A great play by Russell Wilson.
They picked up another big first down, which caused the Bears to use all their timeouts, and then Will Lutz sneaks it in from 51 yards away. 31-28. Justin Fields has one last chance to be the hero, but it's Kareem Jackson with the pick.
Watch it. Look at the tight end right there.
Yeah.
Hands down with palms up. There's definitely miscommunication between Fields and Cole Kmet on what was supposed to happen in the route and the throw.
All right, so the Bears are 0-4 for the first time since 2000, but perhaps for the first time this year, the quarterback was not the issue. It was his first 300-yard game ever.
It hasn't been the issue.
However, in the fourth quarter, obviously, there were the issues. And very quickly there, just on that last play, the last pick that ends the game, you're going to make the point that's not necessarily on the quarterback.
It's between the communication of quarterback and tight end. It's man coverage. You see Kmet pushes up, and it looks at the top. He could run a little bit of an option route.
Yeah.
Justin throws it, like, inside.
Mm-hmm.
Kmet's going to pull away outside. Watch him after the interception happens. He goes hands down, palms up, like, I was doing one thing.
Yep.
You're doing another thing. See how he stops? That's a great angle right there.
Yep.
See how he stops? Justin's expecting him just to get an inch or two, a yard or two inside. My last thing is this. You got to go attack the football. Like, the guy sees the ball come out of the quarterback's hands. So it's not just, oh, my gosh, the quarterback stinks. There's a lot that goes into that play.
The thing that hurts, too, though, Justin played so well for three quarters. Yeah. And then you look at that fourth quarter. There's the fumble. There's the intentional grounding that sets them back. And then, obviously, the last interception. There are things to take from this game and say, okay, we watched Justin Fields take a step up. We watched him sort of make some progress. How do we build on that if we're the offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy?
For what it's, and I agree with that. For what it's worth, the fumble, he's trying to get rid of the ball. Yeah. The intentional grounding, I could see an argument that it shouldn't have been called. They called it one way or another. A lot of things seem to snowball against them. How about the other side? I mean, the Broncos, who were just humiliated a week ago, 70-20, they give up all these touchdowns to them. I thought that game was going to be another route, and they come back and win. That felt like a meaningful comeback for them.
Oh, there's no question about it. And quite honestly, if you're Sean Payton, all right, and I know he won a Super Bowl, that's probably, I mean, you feel like a damn Super Bowl win right there because you had to have it. But this defense is historically bad.
Historically.
They also played the Bears, who might be worse on defense. Mm-hmm. So, and I'll say this about Sean Payton. That offense has not been the problem this year.
No.
All right? So, he's got – remember we said, well, how's the marriage with Russell Wilson and Sean Payton? That looks like it's going to be good.
Broncos.
But they,
yes,
the
yes.
Broncos. But, God, we got to be able to play a little bit of defense. But the Bears, how about Greeny? For 14, they've lost 14 games in a row.
Yes.
They've given up over 25 points in all 14 of them.
I know. With a defensive-minded coach.
Where
the head coach is a defensive
supposed to be.
Chicago and Justin are in a fascinating situation. The question for me right now is, are teams going to call and ask if they can trade for him? Because he's in his third year. We all know that's a huge year for determining what are you going to do with the guy's contract. They're 0-4. The difference between Justin yesterday and the guy that many people saw the first 3 weeks is, it's not that different than Zach Wilson. Watch his back foot. This is what I'm talking about. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now see the urgency, the conviction with the throw. This ball gets driven 40 yards on a freaking rope downfield to DJ Moore.
Yep.
Okay, so like you saw that. Second of all, the athleticism. They finally moved the pocket. You get a ball fake to the right. Now he's athletic enough. See it? Look at this throw. Look at that throw to DJ Moore on the crosser going to his left and flipping his hips. And then now you get him to his right and he becomes a weapon. Defense, I'm going to push the line of scrimmage. If you stay back, I'll run. If you come to me, now I free up my tight end. The question I have is, one, why haven't you done this all year, Chicago? And two, now that you're 0-4 and it feels in many ways like a lost season, it's hard to make a determination of what you're going to do with Justin Fields, what teams come calling, because teams absolutely should. If you watched yesterday and you got an offensive-minded play caller that sits there and goes, I could do something with that, they absolutely should be calling.
I'll put names to it. I'll see yours, and I'll raise it as much as you want. The Bears are going to have maybe the first two picks in the draft next year.
Right.
They're going to take Caleb Williams. They're going to move on from Justin Fields. If Justin Fields was the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons right this minute, they would be 1,000 times better off.
Absolutely. And this is, and I don't want to pile on Desmond Ridder, who's trying to find his footing as a starting quarterback in this league, but he's not the guy on that team. When you look at Drake London's frustration after being pushed out of the end zone by Trey Herndon, you can see that he wants to rock.
Right.
Desmond Ridder can't figure out a way to get it to him. When Mac Hollins is behind the defense and you have an opportunity to push it down the field and you throw it short and Darius Williams drops a pick, you can see his frustration. Yes, they drafted Bijan Robinson number 8 or number 7 overall this year. The years before, you drafted Drake London and you drafted Kyle Pitts.
Yes.
These guys are supposed to be stars. These guys are supposed to be able to catch 50-50 ball. I listened to Dan yesterday say, listen, they're not going to create the separation, but a quarterback has to throw them open. They don't have that quarterback. You want to look at a quarterback that can drive a football? Mm. It's the guy that wears number 1 for the Chicago Bears.
How would you like to see him playing with Bijan Robinson?
It would the amount of things that Arthur Smith could do with those two athletic players in the backfield, they'd become a problem.
It's another mustache.
If they could pull this thing off, all right, and they can get, they would have done it yesterday. But the Bears can't be that stupid. You got to ride this thing out. If you don't, let's say they don't get the first pick in the draft, then you're not going to trade this guy.
If you trade away Justin Fields, you'll get the first pick in the draft.
Absolutely.
If you keep playing defense like this, we're not going to first pick in the draft.
All right, we'll do it. What the hell? Rex, Brandon Staley, what?
I call him the equalizer. Why do I call him that? Because he can take a Super Bowl caliber team and you can be average as hell and almost get beat by a team with a rookie quarterback. The kid, by the way, played at my high school. Are you kidding? Like, this is 2 weeks in a row. And you know what? I'm going to tell you how brilliant this guy is, because we've all said it. This guy is special, all right? That's two games in a row that he gets the interception. No one in his team's going to get an interception in the end zone. He's brilliant.
All right, we continue in just a moment. Bill told Mac, look what you made me do. That's another Taylor reference. How do the Patriots fix their quarterback crisis? We'll get into that. And we'll get into this. Here we go, Rex. From Sneaky Hembo. You saw that look on Belichick's face. Who is the only quarterback with multiple 20-point wins against Bill in the regular season? That's the question. The answer's next. Get up on ESPN. A lot of pressure on Rex. Folks in the room think he's going to get it. So Bill Belichick got just waxed yesterday by Dak Prescott and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Who is the only quarterback with multiple 20-point wins against Bill in the regular season?
Okay, well, there's two guys that are going to jump out to me. Obviously, the Dak Prescott, because he just did it.
All right.
But the sneaky part of Hembo, there's no chance that that's going to be it. Tua's won like five games in a row against this dude right here.
Right.
So that's certainly a possibility. And I know that's the way he's going to think I'm going. Go ahead and give me Drew Brees.
Ain't no way.
Give me Drew Brees.
There is no way. Oh, my God.
Give it to him.
Where is it? Boom! Right there. I own you.
Tua. Tua's won five in a row.
It is five in a row.
It ain't Tua.
Hey, Himbo, you might suck. He said, where's it in my pocket?
Drew Brees, he did it once as a Charger and then once as a Saint. Okay, in the meantime, we showed you the highlights earlier. Mac Jones struggling mightily. Bill Belichick's team blown out in Dallas. And after the game, Bill talking about his quarterback.
So what led to the decision to take Mac out with 3:41 remaining in the third quarter?
I think there was any point leaving him in the game.
And will he be starting next week against the Saints?
Yeah, just so there's no point leaving him in the game, Mike.
So, Bill, was he benched for bad performance or was he pulled because...
No, I said there was no point leaving him out there, so I took him out. Yeah.
So, look, he's not saying that his quarterback is benched because he probably doesn't have a better option and his season is not yet hopelessly lost. But the reality is, when you have a quarterback who sort of hangs his hat on being heady, and he makes the kinds of mistakes that Mac Jones made yesterday, mental stuff, you've got yourself a real problem on your hands. So, Dan, I know you and RC were looking at a tape here, and you were going to show exactly what it is that Mac Jones is struggling with.
Zero confidence and belief in his offensive line. I say it all the time. Quarterbacks will tell you what they think or what they're seeing by looking at their feet. We just talked about Zach Wilson and Justin Fields, right? Look at what Mac Jones is doing when he gets into the pocket. It's this fading away. Now, pay attention. He gets to the top of his drop. Instead of going up, he's constantly going backwards. Three hops. That leads to this inaccuracy. Watch him again. Top of his drop. Hop, hop, hop backwards. And even gets away with it there because Gesicki makes a nice catch. Now we go to third and six. Shallow cross. Look at it again. Top, hop, hop backwards. See all the different movements that are going on?
Yeah.
You don't see Mac consistently getting to his drop and being like, okay, and kind of in that throwing platform, you see fading backwards, even though there's no rush, and then the bouncing around, that will lead to inaccuracy. And that's the biggest issue with Mac right now is he has no trust or confidence in the offensive line, and therefore his feet are all over the place. He's accurate enough to get away from it at times, but not consistently right now.
We always talk about a quarterback's arm.
Yeah.
But one of the things I've learned from being around all you guys, and Rex, I know you pick up, is that strength, that power comes from the legs.
It does.
No doubt.
And that's what he does not have right now and leading to your nickname for him.
Yeah, I mean, I've always called him Pea Shooter Jones. And look, how do you improve? And
why does he sound like an old school pimp, though?
You know what I'm saying? But I think it's appropriate because he doesn't, he can't drive the football outside of numbers, doesn't drive it vertically. And because of that strength.
You can't drive the football with feet like that, though.
No, but I'm saying this, he doesn't have that strength in the lower body. And where Tom Brady, RC, you talk about it, we talk about it all the time. He improved his arm strength as he went on, not by pushing weights upper body-wise, but by getting stronger in your lower body. If this kid's ever going to have the arm talent to play in the NFL, he's got to develop his lower body.
Well, that's the point, is that guys like Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, they can do this stuff you're talking about. Every now and again, make these unbelievable throws when their footwork isn't right because they have that talent. He doesn't have that gear. He has to have it in the right place.
Absolutely true, but your statement of every now and then is accurate. He's doing it too much.
Right.
Like, that's become more of the norm rather than the rarity for Mac Jones's game. And it's hard as a quarterback, if I'm being honest, because he doesn't have a good offensive line, but his job, he's got to get his feet dialed in because that's the necessity in his game.
Yeah, but two wrongs don't make a right. Right. Yeah, I understand that your offensive line isn't playing well and it might make you a little skittish in the pocket, but it can't. It's what you're paid to do. You're paid to stand in there and make the throws. You're paid to understand how can I be the best quarterback I can possibly be and know my limitations. I always said this. I wanted to know where I was weakest so I can avoid putting myself in those positions. Mm-hmm. That's what Mac Jones has to do. But also, you have to thank Bill O'Brien. You need to work with him. If the pocket is something that is giving him trouble, let's get to half rows. Let's put him in position where he can step into throws because he doesn't have what it takes to throw from the pocket right now, especially with his skill players not giving him opportunities for space.
Yeah.
Nobody creates space. You look at all of those throws, and even though he's throwing off of the back foot, there's also a defender right there every single time.
Contrast him with Tua Tagovailoa, though. I don't think Tua's got this absolute cannon for an arm, but if you watch Tua and the way he throws, that back foot hits the ground, and it's getting driven. And so there is that capability. Right now, look at Mac's feet. They bounce, 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 and he'll get away with it, but he's not going to in the course of an NFL, especially against a good defense. Yeah.
In the meantime, Cowboys, a huge win. So why in the world would their quarterback be all aggravated after the game? Well, let's find out.
Dak, what was the feeling leaving that locker room last January against those guys?
I mean, it's obvious. I mean, we're so far past that, to be honest with you, but that's obvious. I mean, you just want to piss me off going in this week, and I appreciate that. I do, actually. I do. Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
To be clear, they go to San Francisco Sunday night. That's what the question was. What a game. What did you think of that?
Well, I asked Michael Parsons the exact same question on the pivot, and he talked about it. He talked about the fact that he would never see those same men inside the locker room again, that he'd never have that opportunity. Well, sometimes some of those players are still in the locker room. Dak Prescott is one of those. And let's think of the last two things Dak Prescott saw on the field with the San Francisco 49ers the last 2 years. You didn't get an opportunity after a quarterback draw to spike the football and get a field goal on your home turf. The last play, you saw your best friend Ezekiel Elliott playing flag football center and getting driven into the backfield. God. That's the two things you remember about playing the San Francisco 49ers. So he should be pissed, and he should be back there, and he should be back there watching that film because much of what the San Francisco 49ers do is the same. Let's go watch where I made mistakes. Let's have that fresh in my mind so I understand I have to be better. Dak Prescott still hasn't played a game this year as good as he was yesterday. He still hasn't played a game this year that erases the memory of what we've seen in the last two playoffs. You want me to tell you what will? You want me to tell you how we'll forget about what happened against Arizona? If you go to San Francisco against Steve Wilkes' defense and play good football and be the reason that the Dallas Cowboys win.
No, that's absolutely right. The only game this year that their defense didn't thoroughly dominate, they lost.
Yep.
Right. So, I mean, it is fair to ask the questions. Now, again, you can ask Dak, what is the key to beating San Francisco? Asking him what the emotion was in the locker room the last time they were in that building is an interesting way to put it, and I understand him being aggravated by it. How about it, Cowboys and Niners this week?
Oh, my gosh. Look, I'm not going to be shocked if Dallas wins this game. I'm not, because that defense is that good, and I think Dak will step up and play much better, okay? But if I'm a betting man and had to, you know, for my life, I'm taking the Niners. I am taking the Niners.
The reason this offense and Dak hasn't erased the memory of last year is because they played from a level of comfort this year. They've had the lead so much. No quarterback has played with the lead more this year than Dak and has played better in that situation. No quarterback has played worse when losing than Dak Prescott this year, and it's mainly in that Arizona game. I don't have concerns about Dallas. I think the way their defense played yesterday post-Trayvon was a really big deal. the two things I've talked about. Number one, throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb in the red zone. You did that. You scored. Stop with the play action down in the red zone, guys. You stink at it. Every time Dak Prescott runs play action in the red zone, he's getting tackled or mauled to the ground. Spread it out a little bit and make sure that he's a ball distributor. I'm not concerned, but their offense so far, because they've been in the lead, has been blah. It's just been blah.
That will be the game of the weekend next weekend for sure. In the meantime, something we haven't even got. I want to show you very quickly here. The Bengals just got blitzed by the Titans yesterday. They had no offense at all. Joe Burrow really struggling as they fall to 1-3. And after the game, here was a frustrated Ja'Marr Chase.
Do you feel like you've had less time to get open and create space for yourself?
No, I'm open. I'm always f***ing open. Excuse my profanity. I'm sorry.
I've known him since he was 15 years old. That is not a lie. He's always been open. And for him, the level of frustration comes from having that success your entire life, having that success the first 2 years in the NFL, and now watching or being a part of what we saw yesterday.
I feel like when they started 0-2, and even they didn't look that great, like, I felt like we weren't that worried about Cincinnati. Are we now?
Yeah, you're absolutely worried about Cincinnati. You're worried about Cincinnati because Joe Burrow can't move off of the spot. And I think all of the time we get caught up and enamored with these quarterbacks we consider dual threat because they can run, or you can see the zone option, and you call quarterback runs. But one thing that Joe Burrow does is manipulate the pocket. It's the reason he's been able to protect himself with having subpar offensive lines. And yesterday, the Tennessee Titans took advantage of
that. Yeah, absolutely. And if you're going to pressure him, you pressure him right through the middle because he can't move. He can't move. Guys, he can't drive the football right now. He had the longest completion yesterday was 17 yards. And by the way, 40% of his passes were at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage.
I was shocked that they played so poorly after calling Monday night with them. I think, one, the calf has limited their ability to be explosive, meaning get under center and try to play action, drive the football. They got four explosive plays in this season.
Four games.
They played four games.
Yeah.
With that talent,
they're in some trouble.
The calf injury just doesn't allow it.
Baltimore looks like it might start pulling away a little bit in that division as we continue. The Jets lose on Sunday night, but Zach Wilson finally giving their city some hope. Can he actually lead this team after all? We'll get to that. Plus, we'll get to this. The Dolphins scored 70 points week three, only 20 yesterday. Dan and RC have got tape. They're going to break down exactly what the blueprint was to shut down this dynamic offense. That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up on a jam-packed Monday. So much attention yesterday coming off the Bills' statement win against the Dolphins is being paid to Josh Allen. He was magnificent. They scored 48 points in doing it. But Dan and RC have put together some tape to explain why it is the Buffalo defense we probably should be paying more attention to.
Well, listen, the Tua turn-up was stopped by the chill in Western New York. Mm. That was the Buffalo Bills' defense.
And the interception kind of tells the story. I'm just going to play it for everybody at home full speed so they get a great understanding of what stood out. For me, RC, it was they never overreacted to some of the motions, and they never listened to Tua's eyes. Yep. So one of the things that Miami has done a great job of this year is that inside-out motion. They are going to motion that guy from inside out and try to horizontally stretch the defense. Now, when they get into that two-high shell, Tua's going to try to use his eyes to affect that safety and that middle linebacker. He's as good as anybody right now in the NFL doing that.
So this is the first thing. The reason that they are not affected by the motion is because we're going 4-on-3 on the top, and we're going to be late to the short. The same thing here. We're going 3-on-2 to the bottom, and we're going to be late to the short. So even though Tua's eyes can lie to you, we are telling him where to go with it.
Now, you got Tyreek Hill in the slot right here, okay? And this is what Tua does so good. He's catching this snap, and he is staring that way. I'm going to try to get my guy the football because I'm trying to get that middle linebacker to just drift that way to open up this seam down the middle of the field to my tight end.
But see, nobody has to move because they've already spent
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Why is this happening right here? Well, why is Matt Milano doing
because
that?
Because Matt Milano knows this about Tua Tagovailoa. Marcus Spears always says that his superpower is accuracy. To me, it's belief. It's belief in what he's seen throughout the week. He knows if he can get Tyreek right now, he has a run and catch. But if somebody's being aggressive here, if this backer has been drawn to my eyes, I should be able to move
move up top right now, and the Buffalo Bills and Sean McDermott played off of that.
That's big time, because as that seam's trying to get thrown, I want everyone at home to pay attention to that middle linebacker, because Tua, again, is staring down here, and he never moves. That is very rare this year to be playing zone defense.
He not only never moved, Dan, he never looked at him.
Yeah,
right? You're right. They aren't trying to beat Tua Tagovailoa. They're trying to beat Tua's skill players, and that's what they're doing by being locked into what they're supposed to do.
Now, look, Tua gets to the top, and he goes from staring down here and in one hitch coming up top and believing that while he's staring there, that linebacker is going to fly that way, and he's going to be able to wrap that seam. Yeah. And this ball is going to sail. It's not because Tua misses the throw. It's because Tua feels that color from that middle linebacker, and so he's trying to place that ball over the top and ends up sailing to that safety.
The thing that's been great about Tua Tagovailoa the entire season is that belief, but things have come open. If you look at what Sean McDermott was able to do, he said no single high. We're not going to allow you to run through zones.
Why?
Because he couldn't run.
Why no single high?
Because single high allows everything to come into Tua's line of vision,
okay.
And right, and you have to take something. You have to grab something. You have to hold on to something. Whereas when you're in split safety defense, you always know you have a halo.
It's so interesting, and I hope everyone is learning as much from this as we do. And the one thing I keep going back to, and Rex says it all the time, you can't do any of that if you're not just rushing your four guys.
Yeah, sure.
They don't have to blitz. They're getting pressure on the quarterback with just their four in front so they can do all of that. Now, having said all of that, let's let RC take center stage and explain some of his tweets. And the first one
assume the position
directly from that game. Here we go. Tweet number one. Josh Allen's cape was lined with gold today. Dude made it happen how he needed to and ain't sweat. Superman had kryptonite, and for a sec we thought teams knew what Josh's was. If that can't affect him no more, then there will be no losing to a rich vigilante with a utility belt. Take it, RC.
First of all, I hate that in the new thing, the new comics, the DC comics, that the Batman was able to beat the Superman. The Batman is just a dude and he has a utility belt and it's the freaking millionaire. All right, now back to what I was saying. Josh Allen, we always said if you made him be patient, he was the guy that would make a mistake. He would force it. We saw it against the New York Jets. That was not happening. He talked to Lois Lane. Lois Lane said, hey, baby, just be cool. It's going to work out. And that's exactly what we saw. He took what they gave him, and then when it was time to be Superman and put that cape on, we watched him soar to amazing heights.
Josh Allen, brilliant yesterday. He is right now in the center of the MVP
Absolutely.
Conversation. In the meantime, Taylor Swift is just in the center of the universe. And RC tweeted, I have no idea how Taylor Swift is as a human, but every time they show her, she seems super chill, like a regular, degular chick.
First off, is Taylor Swift 6'7"? She's taller than everybody.
Yeah.
But Taylor Swift is just in the booth, right? And also, there's always like these three dudes that are super hyped to be at Kansas City Chiefs games that are around her. It's her. It's Blake Lively. Ryan Reynolds. I mean, you got freaking dead. Deadpool and Gossip Girl there. Hugh Jackman's there. He's the freaking Wolverine. Do you know the range it takes to be the Wolverine, to be that circus guy in the musical? That's who he is. And she doesn't even care. She's sitting up there. She's drinking vodka cranberry, and she's watching people score touchdowns, and she's cheering even when it ain't Travis. She don't even like Kansas City. She's a Philly fan.
As they said, extraordinarily red, and she is very tall. I'll show you pictures later. Okay, one more, and this one was near and dear to my heart. Holy macaroni. Man, what in the Joe Namath has gotten into your boy, Zach? This quarterback gives them a chance against anyone. Brud Dunn brought all the juice from Utah to the Big Apple. RC.
He was drafted because of some of the things we saw with his arm talent at BYU. We haven't gotten an opportunity to see those things actually touch the field under the lights. Last night, we saw it all. We saw the confidence. We saw the arm strength. We saw the legs. And we saw him step up to the podium after the game and take accountability for not making the final play or the play to put this team over the top. Zach Wilson has not only earned the respect of everybody outside of that building, more importantly, it seems he's earned the respect of people in that building. And if Joe Namath can come out and say that that kid should be gone before this weekend, he should be able to come out this week and say he played well.
Well, I'm sure Joe will, and I will do the same thing. For those of you just joining us, I said it. I begged the kid to prove me wrong, and last night he most certainly did. And I'll tell you, Rex, as we've had the morning, and when these games are late at night, you know, you go to sleep, you don't have it. As I've thought through it, what I realize is that what he did last night, despite the fact that they didn't win the game, was he gave hope to a franchise that felt hopeless. It felt like it was hopeless when Aaron Rodgers got hurt, that they had no hope when Zach was playing. Last night, he gave them hope, which in the end may be more important than any individual win.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And the funny thing is, because I told you last week
that it's going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
You
because
did.
Because I did. Absolutely did. When everybody's saying you don't have hope, I had hope. Why? I said they're going to be in the playoffs because they have a big-time defense, and they're going to get it right. The kid has ability, and now we're going to see it. Or should we bring in a junk quarterback? Hell no. This kid's got ability. He's only going to get better, Greeny. And can he do it again? He's going to get better as the season goes on, and so is that football team. So watch out for the Jets.
The real challenge I have is, can Nathaniel Hackett grow off of this game plan? This was by far the best game plan that they had built up until this point season-wise when it came to the way they protected him with the play action.
True.
The way they kind of built those one-man routes and said, if you get that ideal coverage, let's be really aggressive and just let the ability to throw the football where you want to throw it be the storyline. I still think there's more in there, though. I honestly do. I still think there's more in that game plan. There's more opportunity.
But then how much does a start like this allow Nathaniel Hackett to continue working around those things?
Absolutely. It's a huge deal because now Nathaniel Hackett, and justifiably so, can sit there and go, all right, you show me you can do it, bud. Now I gotta kind of do my part for you.
So true.
And this weekend is Nathaniel Hackett's Super Bowl, right?
Oh, make no doubt about this now. Look, they have to win this game.
They have to win this game.
New York.
Both teams do.
Must win.
They play Denver. Sean Payton had all those comments and all the rest of that, and it's a bad defense. We'll see what Zach Wilson's able to do against it. That's a big game. First Take's got a big show coming up. What did Zach prove to them last night? Are there concerns for the Chiefs? It's Molly, it's Stephen A., it's Shannon, it's Danny, it's RC, and more. First Take, top of the hour, here on ESPN. Everybody loved this Disney telecast that we did yesterday with the game, and Dan Orlovsky was prominently featured.
Look at me, dropping back, teaching people.
Man,
this
you
is
look good.
This is an example.
Where was Woody?
Rex, pause.
T-Rex got to do something about that arm length.
He catches like the real Rex.
Everybody seemed to love it.
Dan, it made you extremely handsome, too.
Very handsome.
But you kind of look like Greg McElroy with hair. Greg's going to the ball.
All right, we missed this desperately the last 2 weeks when you weren't here. We finish it up with a joke.
Well, good to be back on Mondays. Okay. What do you call a chicken that stares at lettuce?
What do you call a chicken that stares at lettuce?
A chicken head.
Chicken Caesar salad.
Okay, Miles got a hook. I like it.
All right, that was well done. First Take. Take it away.